soul to soul, spirit to spirit, blessings. We are going to see what flows out this day. Several things, several realizations have been floating within my inner being, my inner temple. And although I had one idea for a talk this day, it just may be that Christ has its own idea. I'm going to share something with you that came to me a while back, and I've been working with it, and maybe it'll help you too. I don't know. So much of the writings and so much of what we dwell upon is that there is something called illusion or hypnotism, and we want to awaken out of that. But something that came to me in a meditation the other day, a few weeks ago, was this. Your enemy is not the illusion. Your enemy is the belief that the illusion has power of any kind. Now think about that. Look at that. Roll that around inside you. That which is causing you difficulty is not the illusion or the appearance or the suggestion or the temptation. That which is causing you difficulty is the belief that the illusion, the appearance, has power. Sometimes we see the appearance as having power for evil. This can cause me to be sick. This can bring me lack and limitation. This will bring me loneliness and fear. We look at the appearance, which is a mental image, an image in our thought, an image in thought, made up of thought. We look at that in the mind, and we fear it. We struggle with it. We fight it. We may even hate it. I hate this thing. How long am I going to suffer from it? But if you take a closer look, the appearance is only a mental image, only an image in thought, only a thought. And that which is causing the struggle, the fight, is a second thought, a belief that this image has power for evil. So the enemy is not the appearance. The enemy is the belief the appearance has power. Now, on the other side, we see an appearance. We see it as good. Look at that lovely human being. All the curves in all the right places. She's beautiful. Or he's handsome. What a nice individual they are. Look, you can tell they've had a very proper upbringing. We are seeing an image in thought. But we are entertaining a belief that that image is good. We may even do that with our surroundings. How beautiful these mountains are. The way the clouds float up between their peaks. Looks like smoke rising. I see why they call them the Smoky Mountains. They're beautiful. Now, in the mountain down the street, along comes a developer with 10 bulldozers and starts pushing the earth around, tearing down trees, ripping out vegetation, preparing the ground for condominiums. What has happened to the good? The good never was in that image. It was a belief about that image, that the image was good, and now it's being changed to evil. The enemy is not the image. It's the belief that it has power, for good or evil. Look at that beautiful house. My dream house. I've wanted a house like that my entire life. It's gorgeous. Upstairs, downstairs, wood paneling, pool in the backyard. I want that house. Just think of the good times we can have in that house. The wonderful sense of fulfillment. And honestly, when the friends come by, how we can impress them with what we have. This is a good house. A beautiful house. My house. You see, the house is an image and thought. The house isn't the enemy. The image and thought isn't the enemy. It's the belief that it has power for good or evil. And so, the more I looked at that, the more I began to see its truth. Our enemy is not the appearance or the illusion. Our enemy is the belief that it has power for good or evil. When you go into your meditation and you recognize you've been hypnotized, you're seeing good or you're seeing evil. Realize that you don't have to overcome an illusion, nor do you have to overcome an appearance. You have to let go of the belief that it has power for good or for evil. And so in your meditation, you might look at the appearance. As Joel says, look right at it. Don't be afraid to look at it. Here is an appearance. It's looking evil. Or, as you advance in this work, it's looking good. But it is an appearance, a mental image. Now, what can I do about a mental image? Is there anything that needs to be done? If this is only a belief that it has good, only a belief that it has evil power, then I can turn away from the appearance, the illusion, the mental image. Now, what about this belief? What to do about that? Well, what can I do about a belief? And I am reminded, the stone is cut out of the mountain without hands. So I am not to do anything about the belief other than to recognize it's a belief. Now, at this point, I must stand still. Something within must cut the stone out of the mountain without my help, which means something must bring an awareness to me of itself. Let's call it Christ. At this point, I have done all I can. I have recognized here is a belief in evil power or good power. Now, let me stand still. The solution, the stone cut out of the mountain, must be done by Christ. Let me stand still. Father, thy judgment, not mine. Show me what is really here. Show me what is. Christ, reveal thyself. I am still just an avenue of awareness. Father, lift my awareness that I might be aware of the living Christ. I rest, I listen, Christ. It is said in the art of spiritual healing, awareness of a transcendental presence dissolves the belief. You see, you can't do it. Awareness. Awareness must steal upon you. in your ceasing from the struggle against illusion, in your ceasing from any fight against belief, in your simply standing still, knowing it is a belief, in your receptivity, your openness to Christ, the awareness comes upon you of a living presence, and that light dissolves the darkness. That presence, that awareness, dissolves belief, which was another statement that came into me in my meditation. Awareness dissolves belief. You see, there's no fight in this. There's no struggle. There's no overcoming. There's not even any rising above. They're simply recognizing here is a belief in good power or evil power that this illusion has evil power. The illusion is not the problem. The belief is the problem. But I can do nothing about a belief other than to stand still and allow the awareness of I in my midst to come. And when the awareness comes upon me, it dissolves belief. The stone is cut out of the mountain without hands. And when it dissolves belief, then my eyes can see the Christ doth appear. So you see, it's just a little twist, another little tiny piece, and yet if you catch it, you will no longer be struggling against an illusion or an appearance and trying to overcome it. A couple of things more that came to me this week. One is from Joel. One is from Herb. And one is from Jesus. And all are from Christ within. Joel says, "The universe of spirit, truth, God, is an activity in eternity." Now look at that. The universe of spirit is an activity in eternity. What that means in relation to what we just said is when you are standing still with no judgment of your own, no belief of your own, just in silence, when the awareness of spirit comes upon you, that presence, that awareness, that spirit is an activity in eternity. It is taking place in eternity. It's not taking place in time or space. This is an eternal presence. 10,000 years from now, we said before, 10,000 years from now, if you sit down to meditate and you feel that presence, it is the same presence you feel today. It is an eternal presence, an eternal Christ. The Word was made invisible flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And in your meditation, that's what happens. The awareness comes upon you of an eternal presence, full of grace and truth. And if you sit down 10,000 years from now and have that awareness, it will be the same eternal presence full of grace and truth forever, everlasting. So the universe of spirit, that which you contact in your meditation, that kingdom within, is an activity in eternity. Which should suggest to you that if it takes place in time and space, it's nothing but a series of mental images. So, he says, the universe of spirit, truth, God, is an activity in eternity. Thus understood, neither birth, disease, accident, nor death has ever occurred. Now that's pretty plain. Neither birth, nor death, nor anything in between has ever occurred. In your meditation, in those moments of silence, when the awareness comes upon you of spiritual identity, of Christ in your midst, this is your self. This is your eternal self. And the light of your eternal self dissolves the beliefs in good and evil. It dissolves mental images. The belief in birth, that you had a beginning, this awareness, this activity in eternity, your spiritual self, your eternal self, dissolves the belief in birth. Your spiritual self, the invisible Christ, the eternal, everlasting self of you that you contact, that you feel come upon you, as awareness, it dissolves the belief in death and everything in between. None of it has ever occurred, and as you stand still, rest back in the everlasting arms of yourself, in the bosom of the Father, you see, you know, I was never born. I will never die. I am that eternal self now. So he says the universe of spirit, truth, God is an activity in eternity. Thus understood, neither birth, disease, accident, nor death has ever occurred. In every instance, when presented with the appearance of humanhood, even good human beings or conditions. Remember, this is not the truth, but a mental image in thought. Without reality, without law, without substance, without cause or effect. Then see deeper into consciousness and behold that which is eternity, even where past, present, or future appears to be. What we are learning, and some of us are beginning to feel, is we have always existed. We are that everlasting activity in eternity called Christ. Everything that we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, from birth to death, the bad and the good, good human beings, good conditions, disease, accident, death, all of it is an image and thought. It has no reality. There's no spirit in it, or it would be eternal. It has no law. God's law isn't in it, or it would be everlasting. No substance. It's not eternal. No cause, no effect. And so he says we must see deeper into consciousness and behold that which is eternity. Something new is opening up for us. We are learning together that there is an eternal self. And we are learning that not because we hear the words, but because in our meditation we feel it, and awareness of it comes. We, being an avenue of awareness, become aware of an eternal self, an eternal activity, an eternal universe, an eternal everlasting kingdom. And we're coming into the actual awareness of that. We are leaving a life lived in mental images, in an image of disease, accident, death, in images of birth, abundance, good living, good human beings, good conditions. Now, I know you remember Joel telling us that in the spiritual kingdom there is neither health nor disease, neither wealth nor lack, neither birth nor death. And perhaps at the time we scratched our heads and wondered, how could that be? How could that be? But now we are beginning to see. Whereas before we were blind, now we see. We are beginning to awaken. And this awakening is not greater understanding. This awakening is an internal feel, an internal awareness of an everlasting, eternal activity, eternal self, eternal identity, eternal kingdom. We started out in our meditations being confronted with the evil condition and sitting out down into meditation so that we may make the contact with the spiritual being within us, the Christ. And making that contact, the evil would disappear and harmony would be restored. Now, lo, these many years later, we sit down in meditation. We may see an evil picture or a good one. What difference? We sit down in meditation not to make a contact, but that we may be awakened out of all mental images, and a life lived in mental images, a life between the cradle and the grave, that we may be lifted into the awareness of our true identity, Christ's identity, eternal self, eternal in the heavens. a life not made with hands. We sit in our meditation. The stone is cut out of the mountain without hands. The awareness comes upon us from infinite consciousness that there really is an eternal activity, an activity in eternity, a self in eternity. And that self is the Christ that I am. And so we are making the transition. We are coming out of the second book of Genesis, which is ruled by the Lord God and all the mental images, which is another way of saying world mind, or thoughts about the world, thoughts about a world, good and evil. We are coming out of the second chapter of Genesis, in which we are born and in which we die, in which we struggle in between birth and death. We are making the transition out of a world governed by mental images. We're coming out of all of it, the evil and the good. We're stepping out of the belief that there is any power in any mental image. We are coming into the awareness of our Christ identity, that the Word made flesh, invisible flesh, is our eternal self. We are coming into the first chapter of Genesis, in which consciousness, God itself, manifests as the invisible flesh, the I of you, the I that is you. So now we are no longer interested in changing bad pictures into good. Now we are interested in making this transition out of a mental universe into the spiritual kingdom, out of a parenthesis into an activity in eternity, a self in eternity, out of human beliefs into Christ awareness. Now that's what Joel says, and here's what Herb says. Whatever you do in time and in space, whatever you do through and with a human body, whatever you do in a human lifespan, all this leads to the false achievements of the human mind, the transitory ones, which are very important to us, we think, because we have known no other. But all of them are deterrents, detours that remove us from the direct action toward the only thing that counts. Can you attain rebirth before death? Now, whatever you do, he says, in time and in space, whatever you do through and with a human body, whatever you do in a human lifespan, all of this leads to the false achievements of the human mind. And that's what we were just discussing. If it takes place in time and space, if you do it with your human body, if you do it inside of a human lifespan, these are all false achievements. I know that's quite shocking the first time you hear it. You want to do like some of the people in India did. you want to say, well, what's the use, and throw your hands up. It's all an illusion, and just sit by the side of the road as a beggar. But that won't awaken you. And so if you do that, you're entitled to do that. You can throw your hands up and say, well, then what's the use? It's all an illusion. We'll just eat, drink, and be merry until we die. And yes, you can do that. Lots of people choose that. But then you'll find another birth, another death, another birth, another death, another birth, another death. Sooner or later, you must decide, I've had enough. I have tasted everything life has to offer. I've lived the life of wealth. This life I'm speaking, just this incarnation, I have lived the life of wealth, gone on cruises, been pampered, spoiled, made servants. I have lived the life of poverty. I've found my dinner in the trash bins behind a grocery store and ate it. I have known wonderful philanthropic giving souls. Very beautiful people. I met a Christian couple that are some of the finest people I have ever met, totally devoted to serving others. And I have met some people on the streets of Los Angeles in the dead of night, that the only word you can use to describe them is creepy, scary. I have known sickness that hurts so bad you wish you could pass out or even pass away. And I have known health that enabled me to climb the tallest mountain, a mountain called Mount Grayback, where when you got to the top, you looked down on the clouds below you. There's nothing in this life, good or evil, that I haven't tasted. And yet all of it, every single bit of it, was an image and thought, a belief that the appearance I was hypnotized with had good in it or had evil in it. All of it, if it takes place in time and space, whatever you do with the human body or in this human lifespan, leads to the false achievements of the human mind. None of it brought awareness of an activity in eternity, a self standing in eternity. And so I can say with complete authority, all of the achievements that take place in time and space, whether you worked on a degree or worked in a career or worked raising a family or worked serving the poor, whether you like it or not, these achievements in a human lifespan are nothing. They are nothing but the belief in evil and the attempt to change it into good. All of them are working in the fabric of illusion. From birth to death, anything that takes place in a human lifespan is nothing. Yet side by side, while I was doing all these things, there was an invisible kingdom in my midst. I couldn't see it. I couldn't feel it. I couldn't know it until my sight was turned within. And so he puts forth the question, can you attain rebirth before death? Which means, can you make the transition before death into an awareness of an activity in eternity? Can you come into the awareness that you are spirit itself, standing in eternity? And can you live in it, consciously aware of your identity, feeling it, standing in it, moving in it? Can you do that before death? And the answer is yes, you can. I am beginning to do that. Some of you are too. Actually standing in the Christ that I am. And finally, we come to a message from Christ Jesus, which I am sure not too many like to hear. Not too many enjoy hearing this. And it is Luke 14:26. If any man come to me, this is the Christ of you speaking, because there's only one Christ. It's not the Christ of Jesus, it's the Christ of you. The Christ of Jesus and the Christ of you are one. One and the same. And so this Christ within you, this Christ of which you are aware, is saying to you, if any man come to me and hate not his mother, his father, his wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. All right? That's pretty strong language. I'm sure if you were sitting before the Master, who is supposed to be all-loving, at this point you would be scratching your head and saying, could you please clarify that? What are you talking about? This doesn't fit with what I believe is supposed to be spiritual. Yeah. And yet it's the exact instruction for how to step out of the human parenthesis between the birth and the death, the cradle and the grave. And so if you would come unto the Christ within you, if you would allow this awareness to come upon you, if you would stand still and receive the awareness of your eternal self, then, says Jesus, you must decide that you want nothing to do with your own mother, your own father, your wife, your husband, your children, your brothers, your sisters, even your own life. If you will do that, then you can be a disciple of Christ. What does it mean? It means for most of us it takes many, many years to arrive at the place where we can say, I'm tired. I am tired of making demonstration after demonstration after demonstration. My finances fall off and I demonstrate supply. My health deteriorates and I demonstrate life. My relationship sours and I demonstrate companionship. And now my finances are bad again and I demonstrate supply again. And now my health has a different problem and I demonstrate health again. And now someone's coming to me with a financial problem and I'm demonstrating supply for them. And now someone's coming to me with a relationship problem and I'm demonstrating harmonious companionship for that person. Now someone's coming to me and they're bringing me a heart problem and I'm demonstrating a better valve. You see? Where is the work taking place? Where's your work taking place? In the human lifespan. You're improving the human picture. For most of us, it takes many years until we finally arrive at the place where we say, I'm tired. There must be something more than this endless round of demonstrations. That's a beautiful place to be, because now we are ready to make the transition. We are ready to go within and be lifted into another dimension. We are ready to lay down the entire human lifespan and anything that takes place in it, whether it appears bad or good. We are ready to lay down mother and father and sister and brother and children, husband and wife, yea, and even our own human sense of life. We are ready to lay down the world, all of it, so that we might experience the stone cut out of the mountain without hands. A separate universe, or rather a different universe, a universe not made with hands, a self not made with hands, a self that doesn't exist in that lifespan. We are ready to let it all go, step right into the invisible. Have that awareness of Christ and eternal activity and eternal self, never born, never dying, one with the Father. We are ready to experience life everlasting, right here, as an ongoing awareness. Don't you see, when you have that awareness everywhere. Then when you look at your mother or father, you're not fooled by the appearance, nor even by the belief that it has power for good. You are able to do what Joel says, see through the appearance to the eternal. Right there in their midst, you have the awareness of an eternal self, an eternal activity, an activity taking place in eternity. You feel it, you know it, you see it, you are it. Only those who are willing to lay down the world and all that it is, evil or good, no matter how precious, then you are ready to be a disciple of Christ. That is, one that is so disciplined they can step out of a human lifespan, behind the veil, into an eternal self, everlastingly in the Father, the kingdom of God. This is what's been coming to me, not as a thought or a theory, as an actual experience. And I would like to wrap this up today by reading something that I posted in a list about this experience, the experience of coming into the awareness of an eternal self. This is what I wrote. Lately, the mind seems to know I am coming, because it seems to struggle just a bit less, seems to no longer reach out for understanding. It seems to acquiesce to this new idea that we are not having to know anything with the mind. And I have noticed something different, something new. Sometimes, in the silence, in the stillness, the Christ itself, the living, invisible, spiritual presence overshadows the mind. It is just suddenly present. No words, no thoughts, just is. I feel that during these moments, surely if anyone, anywhere is reaching out toward me, they will make contact with the only presence which is present, the Christ. I feel the rightness of this. I feel a certainty. I feel that Christ is most definitely on the scene. Not a thought, nor a belief, but as a living spiritual identity that has come to reveal life. It is only a beginning of witnessing the Word made invisible flesh and dwelling among us. But it is real, and I know it. Can you make this transition? This rebirth before death? It is my deepest prayer that you join me in this eternal activity. When you step in to this invisible eternal self, I shall be with you.